The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the third edition of Dave's Gone By, an hour of talk radio, comedy, and music. Somehow they've let us persist for three straight weeks, despite references to and jokes about suicide, cannibalism, sex in public, breast cancer, lung cancer, retarded people, Hungarians, Native Americans. That's this week's show. So, this is not Top 40 Radio, this is Bottom Feeder Radio, and we're proud of it. It's music, satire, sketches, special guests, cosmic debris, whatever feels right for the moment. So, although we strenuously obey all FCC rules, this is not a show for the youngins. If you have 8-year-olds listening, put them to bed, give them a hard smack. If they're not already shooting hard smack, tell them Mommy and Daddy are listening to something for grown-ups that makes them feel like 8-year-olds, which is what it's all about. On this show, we've got a world weird web about comic strips. Yes, it's the segment we were supposed to play last week until technical difficulties drove us to Distraction, Kansas. We've got a review of the new George Burns show on Broadway. We've got petty music, shooby music, the angry Lipa guy, I hope, and Wonder of Miracles, it's finally ready. The Puff Sullivan Letter. We've been promising it since our first show. The rights have finally cleared, so tonight, oh, what heights we'll hit. But first, it's the news gone by with a week in review. And we've had another busy week in the news. We live in interesting times. From the Associated Press, October 15th, a new study out of Washington, D.C. says that people with naturally red hair need about 20% more anesthesia than patients with other hair colors. The theory hinges on melanin, a pigment responsible for skin and hair color. The sun triggers a hormone that then triggers the production of a tan, which redheads don't get easily. Remember the famous Woody Allen line when he was doing stand-up comedy? "I avoid the beach," he said, "because I don't tan. I stroke." But this new study by a professor at the University of Louisville says redheads have a mutation on the receptor for this tan-producing hormone. That mutation affects sensitivity to pain. Now, the study's a little suspect because it was done on only 20 people. 10 red-haired women and 10 dark-haired women were each given a mild inhaled anesthetic and then subjected to electric shocks. The redheads kept notching up their hits of anesthesia 20% more than the brunettes. Asked her opinion of the study while it was going on, one of the red-haired subjects said, "Ow!" The professor then tried an early version of the test on blonde women, but it took too long to teach them which direction on the dosage meter was up. Obviously, since this was such a small study, further testing is needed. Volunteers for future experiments should be cautioned that the next test won't utilize electric shocks, but will involve mallets, a bandsaw, and Tabasco sauce. In local news, Oakdale resident Kip Cohn was arrested and charged with misdemeanor aggravated harassment for including nasty messages when paying his Lipa bills. Instead of using the return envelope provided by the Long Island Power Authority, Mr. Cohn would stuff the bill and a check into a plain brown envelope, include a wad of negative newspaper clippings about the company, and scrawl "Lipa sucks" on the outside of the package. Worrying about anthrax and other dangers, the mailroom at Keyspan Corps called a hazmat crew as well as the 8th Precinct. The bomb squad figured out that Mr. Cohn wasn't doing anything dangerous, but the police are still investigating. Cohn's lawyer says it's the post-9/11, quote, climate of terror that led Keyspan to jump the gun on the First Amendment. Kip Cohn, who runs a sporting goods and clothing store in Oakdale, told Newsday his monthly electric bills topped $300, and he has occasionally made his checks out to the name Lipa Crooks. But he also said, "I might get a little loud, a little heated, but I never threaten anyone." On the plus side for Mr. Cohn, he's become something of a local celebrity, with a 90% approval rating in a recent Newsday poll. Richard Kessel, chairman of Lipa, called him to apologize and said that the mailroom overreacted. But the complainant was a Keyspan, not a Lipa employee, so Kessel's hands are kind of tied. "I personally spoke to Cohn on Friday, and he told me he has no regrets, and that he'll pay his bill the same way again next month. He did spend the night in jail, fingerprinted, the whole bit. He said he received an order on October 8th to appear at the police station a week later. When he did, out of the computer they pulled up a dog nuisance warrant that was 22 years old, and that's why they kept him overnight. The dog charge was dismissed. The Keyspan case gets a hearing November 22nd. He faces up to a year in prison, and I hope he fights it all the way to the Supreme Court. Would I want to be the one in the mailroom opening his packages? No. But would I want to live in a country where you can't mail a non-obscene, non-threatening insult to a company? No again. I'm wondering, we actually have Kip Cohen on the phone as a live call-in. This is, by the way, not a joke or a sketch. We really have him, apparently. So please, Kip, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, thank you so much for calling in. I hope you're enjoying what little of the show you've heard so far. And what did you tell me about your mom when we spoke on
the phone? TBB was her favorite station.
Say that again. I'm sorry. We just need to hear that several times and record it.
Okay, WGBB was my mother's favorite station.
Well, what do you mean was? What does she listen to now?
No, she passed away.
Oh. And that's still not an excuse. Okay, but first of all, have there been any developments since I spoke to you on Friday?
No, not really.
Okay, well, thank you so much for... No, just elaborate a little more. What really made you decide not just to write a letter or do this, but literally with your bill start doing this month after month after month?
I'm just tired of the waste.
More specifically?
Advertising.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You made that pretty clear. What specifically about Lipa's advertising bothers you?
The fact that they do any. It's not like we have another choice for electricity.
Right. So the fact that they advertise so much and spend all this money for no real reason is what gets to you.
Yes, it is.
Cool.
It's all the rate payers that pay for it.
Right. And tell me a little more of what Kessel said when he called you.
He was apologetic. I mean, you know, like you said, it wasn't him, and you know, it wasn't him that picked up the phone and called the bomb squad and, you know, started the whole thing.
Do you understand, in retrospect, why the mailroom people did what they did?
I can understand their concern over a suspicious package, but, I mean, this was written out in a, you know, with return address and everything else on it.
And you actually didn't just pop this in a post office box. You handed it to a mail to the post office.
Yes, most of the time this is hand-stamped and hand-canceled. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this particular envelope was, but I have done this before and haven't received any, you know,
right.
Any
Sorry?
Threats. Or, you know, they didn't take it as a threat any other time.
Hmm. And remind me, have you ever done this sort of thing with bills to other companies or letters to other companies or organizations?
Actually, at my house, my wife writes out all the bills, so I haven't. If I probably wrote out my home bills, yeah, I'd probably do it with cable. You know, anybody that is really not much of a choice to, you know?
I agree. What does your wife think of the whole situation?
She's behind me 100%.
That's great. That's really... I mean, was she shocked about the whole jail thing?
Oh yeah, we were anticipating just walking in with and picking up an appearance ticket for the aggravated harassment charge, and then they dragged up this 22-year-old dog nuisance.
They dragged up a 22-year-old. That sounds pretty good. Oh, no, I'm
sorry. The dog nuisance ticket that was 22 years old.
I thank God at this point have never been in jail. So I have to ask, what is it like?
It's not fun.
Okay, well, you were in general pop?
Yes.
So, can you just take me through the night a little bit. I know we should be talking about how horrible Lipa is, but I just want to hear a little about this.
It's being fingerprinted, it's being, you know, mugshot and everything else, you know, general population, no shoes on for the night, no coat, sleeping on a wood slab. Basically, it's not comfortable and not a pleasure.
Hmm. And you had never had any trouble, really, with the law before? I mean, parking tickets, maybe, or something? Or?
Well, I had been arrested once before on a different note.
Good heavens. I don't suppose, like, are you going to hang up if I ask what that was? Click. No. All right.
No, but it doesn't really matter at this point.
So, and have you gotten a lot of appreciative mail and phone calls and visitors to your store? If you want to plug your store, that's cool, too. So.
Well, my store's at... the original sports fans, and I do sportswear and sporting goods.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably one of the best kept secrets around. We go a little bit deeper than the average. If you're looking for that hard to find Giants or Angels shirt right now, you know, we've got them in stock.
And of course, an overage of Mets and Yankees jerseys, but yeah.
Which we always carry.
Right.
And, you know, it's...
But have people been coming in and saying, you know, honking their horns or...
Yes, most people are behind me 100%.
Cool. And you've done a lot of radio interviews and stuff like that, and you're kind of getting used to being a somewhat, you know, a celebrity of sorts.
Yeah, it's been a little overwhelming, actually.
Cool. I mean, there aren't reporters camped outside your house or anything like that.
No, nothing like that yet.
Well, but I'm coming out after the show, so that's pretty...
You'll be the first one.
Is there anything you kind of really want to... You know, I'll give you a few seconds to just sort of state your piece, to just say to Lipa what they can do to make you stop sending the kind of letters that you've been.
They can reduce everybody's rates. I mean, you know, we've paid for Shoreham I don't know how many times. We're getting hit with another 3% surcharge to pay back taxes to LIPA, I believe, for stuff that was overcharged, you know, during this whole Shoreham mess. You know, our government officials gave us permission to build that plant, and, you know, they charged us to build it, charged us to tear it down, charged us to close it, you know. I mean, we've been paying for this thing for 20 years and haven't benefited from it yet.
Hmm. Well, so...
You know, the other thing is the advertising that they do. It's not like we do have a choice, you know. It's basically LIPO and nobody. So to advertise is pretty fruitless, I would think, except the fact that it's wasting a lot of ratepayers' money.
But do you really think, and I think I asked you this when we spoke on Friday, that even if they stop the advertising, that's going to make a dent?
Do I think it'll get kicked back to the ratepayers? Well, I'd like to think so, but I'd have to see it happen first.
My engineer has a cool question. Do you think we were better off when we had Lilco instead of Lipa?
It was one evil against the next, you know?
Right, kind of Bush versus Sodom, isn't it? Well, anyway, I want to thank you very, very much. I want to wish you best of luck. Please keep in touch also, like on November 22nd. I'd love to know how everything goes. And thank your mom for, well, you know, next time you visit her, as it were, for listening. And I hope you'll be listening too. But seriously, I do wish you best of luck with your quest. And
if I wouldn't speak my mind, my mother would be turning over in her grave. So,
well, that's cool. I think. Anyway, thanks so much for calling in. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you, you too.
Okay. That was Kip Cohn, the angry Lipa guy, although he's obviously a lot smarter, and you know, that's just a tag I tag him with, but I think he knows what he's talking about. Anyway, continuing the news gone by, this next item comes from the syndicated column Weird But True, read locally in the New York Post, quote, to convince their neighbors that living next to a landfill was not all that bad, the Alliance Sanitary Landfill in Taylor, Pennsylvania, threw a bash for 500 people on site. Guests toured the landfill, painted pumpkins, and ate hamburgers. Said one guest, we all thought there would be a bad smell, but there's not. The success of the Burger Bash has led to local organizations holding similar events. Recent parties have included an organic wine tasting at the sewage treatment facility in Bayshore, and the first annual medical waste piñata party at Schneider Children's Hospital in New Hyde Park. More food in the news. Reuters reports that Japanese scientists are developing an onion that doesn't make you cry when you cut it. They've apparently identified the enzyme that causes the tears. Could be the first step towards a genetically modified vegetable that looks and tastes like an onion, but has no smell. To help their research, the laboratories are consulting food experts from other fields, including McDonald's, where they've managed to isolate and remove all traces of nutrition from everything they serve, and kosher butchers, who have been able to take the flavor and tenderness out of meat for 5,000 years. On the international front, Baghdad reports that Saddam Hussein was re-elected president for another seven-year term by a margin of 11,445,638 votes to zero. The ridiculous margin is viewed as proof of the stability and absolute power of Hussein's leadership of Iraq. There was a discrepancy involving 2 million of those votes, but that was just in Dade County. Finally, in the news, Newsday reported that a federal committee recommends that 500,000 hospital workers be vaccinated for smallpox. According to the Center for Disease Control, it would be a voluntary vaccination program given only to those who want to live. Smallpox killed 500 million people in the past century, a virus that is lethal for about 30% of non-vaccinated people exposed to it. Joining us with an editorial comment about this bioterrorism scare is Chief Moist Elk of the Mandan Tribe of North Dakota. Chief Elk, welcome to WGBB. What is your opinion? How? And how do you, Chief? What is your take on all this?
So, white man have problem with smallpox. Ha ha ha! Ha 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 ha! Ha ha! Me love 'em irony.
Well, all right, but how do you suggest we deal with this threat, either from Iraq or from our own government releasing smallpox into the air?
Get 'em food, clothing, tools, provisions for winter. Go in cars, drive to ocean, Atlantic, Pacific, drive fast, drive into ocean. Smallpox no bother white man there. Ha 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 ha.
Chief, that is a very nihilistic viewpoint. Surely you don't want children to die for sins committed by European traitors 200 years ago. Do you think there should be mass inoculations, not just for health workers and the military, but for all Americans?
A pox on all Americans. Literally. Me regular Shecky Green this evening.
So, Chief, you think we deserve to suffer, and you have absolutely no advice on how to cope with a smallpox epidemic.
Bingo.
Well, your cavalier attitude certainly does...
No. Bingo. You come to casino in Fargo, lose much money to tribe, give them tax rebate, free construction. We give you herbal remedy and healing chant.
Are you for real? Your tribe is willing to trade this knowledge for money?
Yes, Mr. Dave. We have a tobacco cure.
Well, this is really exciting. Certainly, we have a vaccine, but if there's a more effective way that doesn't involve shots...
Listen. Is easy. Red man, take 'em unfiltered tobacco. Stuff 'em in peace pipe. Light pipe with fire from stick. No match. Stick. Inhale smoke. Red man, puff, puff. White man, bend down. Trousers down. Red man, blow smoke up white man's ass. Chief Moist Elk, his own deaf comedy jam.
All right. We get the picture. You want us all to die.
You speak 'em with spoon tongue. After epidemic, red man clean bodies off land. Take back North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Oregon.
Okay, we get the picture. Is there anything else you would like to add?
Yes. We would like to add Manhattan. We got 'em $24 in Buffalo Nickels. We would like to add Wisconsin also, but too boring there. Even casino dull. Roulette wheel, all one color. Slot machine have 24-hour wait after pulling lever. Ba-doom-boom. Grievances? I got 1,000,000 of 'em.
All right. Big Chief Moist Elk of the Mandan Tribe, thank you for coming.
White man gonna die, gonna die, gonna die, gonna white man gonna die, they'll die, they'll die. Ugh.
Well, ugh indeed. Just a reminder that the opinions expressed in that editorial do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the show, the host, the radio station, or the world at large. Something from outer space. Peggy Whitson, an American astronaut spending her 130th day in space, said she was happy in orbit, but maybe she brought along too much shrimp. I'm having a great time up here, Whitson told Reuters. It's fun to live here and do the science, but sometimes when you come to space, your tastes change. One of my favorite foods on the ground is shrimp, and up here I can't stand it. Whitson laid out more than 40 shrimp dinners for her stay, meals now going to her Russian crewmates. The astronaut did say she had a cure for the blandness of food in space. Quote, we could probably eat paper if we had it with salsa. This led U.S. Education Secretary Rod Page to recommend paper and salsa as a vegetable and fiber meal plan for school lunches across the country. He said the vegetable ketchup will still be available, but only as a dietary supplement. That's the news gone by for the week ending October 20th, 2002. Send in your comments, opinions, and whatnot, especially whatnot, to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062, or email us at davesgoneby@aol.com. Please assume that, unless otherwise requested, all comments and questions may be read on the air, name withheld upon request. That's davesgoneby@aol.com. Please, no plain brown envelopes unless it's porn. Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret. These are magical words conjuring up a universe of great entertainment. If you want to know everything about what's happening on the stages of New York, you need to get Performing Arts Insider magazine. For 60 years, Performing Arts Insider has been a bible of the industry. It tells you when shows are opening and closing, what they're about, who's in the cast, designers, writers, composers, contacts for producers and managers, box office info, parental guides, everything you need to know if you care about theater, opera, and dance, too. As the chief editor of Backstage put it, Performing Arts Insider is who, what, where, and when, all the facts at your fingertips. For more information, how to subscribe or get a sample issue, call 516-295-1511 or go to www.totaltheater.com and click on Performing Arts Insider. Well, a couple of weeks ago, our local public television station started rebroadcasting The Civil War, one of the great modern documentaries. Powerful piece of work, especially considering that there's really no movie footage from back then in the 1860s. It's all essentially still photographs with voiceover narration. And yet, it's still compelling. You still follow all the battles. It's very clear. And perhaps the most poignant and moving segment of all is the famous Sullivan Ballou letter. That is, of course, the letter written by a soldier, a volunteer soldier, Sullivan Ballou, written on July 14th, 1861, to his wife, and adding extra emotion to it is that it's set to the music of a song called Ashikan Farewell, and also that this soldier was killed a week after he wrote this letter at the First Battle of Bull Run. Let's hear a little bit from the documentary of the Sullivan Ballou letter.
July the 14th, 1861, Washington, D.C. Dear Sarah, the indications are very strong that we shall move in a few days, perhaps tomorrow. And lest I should not be able to write you again, I feel impelled to write a few lines that may fall under your eye when I'm no more. I have no misgivings about or lack of confidence in the cause in which I am engaged, and my courage does not halt or falter. I know how American civilization now leans upon the triumph of the government, and how great a debt we owe to those who went before us through the blood and suffering of the Revolution. And I am willing, perfectly willing, to lay down all my joys in this life to help maintain this government and to pay that debt.
It's a gorgeously written letter that also delves into the impossible choice between your own life and the call of your country. Well, that said, I can only wonder, if we finally do attack Iraq and go after Saddam Hussein, will the boys overseas be writing those kinds of letters, espousing those kinds of delicate thoughts? They probably will, but in a rather different way. As a public service, therefore, we actually have a simulated new version of that letter, bringing home the cost of the next war, whatever and whenever that may be. And so, we bring you the Puff Sullivan letter, Dateline Baghdad, July 14th, 2003.
Yo, Tanisha. What's up? This is Sullivan. Captain's telling us we hauling ass tomorrow. That is up. Think he's so smart. If he wasn't white, he'd be shoveling onion rings at Popeyes. They ain't telling us where we're going. They ain't telling us what we're doing. We just be ready to kill or die. Yeah, the boys all be thrilled to hear that. If I gotta die in this hellhole, I'm taking some carpet riding, camel wiping, goat loving, towel headed sand monkey with me. And if the captain keep pissing me off, I gonna frag his ass too. You think George Bush knows what he's doing? I think he knows what he's doing. He just don't know what he's doing to us. Him and his oil. Oh, I know. They blew up the towers. But why can't we just drop a bomb on the whole Middle East? They all living in sand anyway. Drop a bomb on a hut. 3 minutes later, new hut. No. They gotta put me and my brothers here. Lay down my life for minimum wage and police brutality. Thank you, Massa. But enough about me. Denisha, I miss you. Remember that time we was on a picnic and you drank 3 bottles of malt liquor and threw up in the chicken? Damn, that was funny. You on my mind a lot over here. Ain't nothing to do here but play cards and do jumping jacks. I got sand in places even your mouth ain't being. But still, every time a breeze blows across the 250-degree llama-roasted desert, I think of you, of our life together. If I done some stuff that wasn't right, well, I'm sorry. Like a time you were sleeping and I crazy glued your feet together because I thought you were seeing that fat Tyrone. Damn, that was funny. But seriously, I'm being faithful. I hope you are too. If you're not, I'm gonna come back as a ghost and tear you a new love box. Tell my little boy, if he is my little boy, that if I catch him smoking weed again, he's gonna die before I do. I want him to have a chance. I wanna be fighting for something. Chances are I'm gonna live through this, though I don't know if I'll be the same. And if I die, I want a nice funeral with music and flowers and a big screen TV showing college basketball. Tell my son I believe in him. Tell my mama I love her. Tell my daddy he's a no good, drunk, lazy, lying, borderline, retarded piece of mouse doo-doo, and if I could, I'd get my whole regiment to pop a cap in his face. Well, Tanisha, baby, I better say goodbye for now. But I'll be back. You see, I'm gonna be a hero. They're gonna give me a parade and a pension and 80 acres and 2 mules. And I'll be singing America the Beautiful with J-Lo on one side and Vanessa Williams on the other. And when they ask what I done for my country, I say, come to my street. Look at that graffiti. Look at them crack files, them broken windows and empty stores. That's the war I'm fighting. Poverty is my terrorist. Glory hallelujah. Your man, Sullivan. Peace out.
If you're a big fan of Dave's Gone By, and I know I am, why not join the Bystanders, the official Dave's Gone By fan club? Because you can receive a bi-monthly newsletter devoted to the show, get a weekly special email, an autographed membership card eligible for discounts on show merchandise and local businesses, receive a one-hour best-of audio tape, including favorite moments from the show, and maybe even stuff we couldn't put on the radio. All this for just $10. For the newsletter, the discounts, the email, and the collector's item audio tape, it's a great deal. And if you join before December 31st, we'll throw in a signed picture of the host. Just make a $10 check or money order payable to Total Theater and send it to Total Theater Radio, P.O. Box 62, that's 62, Hewlett, New York, H-E-W-L-E-T-T, New York, 11557-0062. For more information about the fan club, email us at davesgoneby@aol.com.
This week's show has been dealing with a lot of audio cues, so I figured it'd be a nice change to have the World Weird Web segment be more visual.
I want to share a couple of websites devoted to comic strips. Now, television and movie cartoons have really exploded in creativity and coolness in the past decade. Just look at Disney's reanimation, literally, with Beauty and the Beast and The Little Mermaid, and then DreamWorks with Ants and Shrek. On TV, it's The Simpsons, Duckman, Ren and Stimpy, SpongeBob, Space Ghost, Brack, the Robert Smigel stuff on Saturday Night Live. Terrific. Compare it especially to what was on primetime TV 20 or 30 years ago, from The Flintstones to Wait Till Your Father Gets Home. But newspaper comics haven't really followed suit. It's indicative that Charlie Brown and Snoopy are still top dog, and Charles M. Schulz, he's been dead for 2 years. Some would say he was creatively dead about 10 years before that, but okay. But we're still seeing Hagar the Horrible and BC and Mary Worth and Beagle Bloody Bailey, which is okay as far as it goes. There's Doomsbury for tired satire on the left, Mallard Fillmore on the right. Occasionally funny when the duck isn't making the exact same joke about college students every time. Only the black comic strip Boondocks by Aaron Magruder really has that funny angry edge that makes it feel relevant. Comics in the alternative papers don't so much go for satire, just weirdness, irony, and bad taste. Since I'm a connoisseur of all three, that's fine by me. I'll read New York Press for Tony Millionaire's Mockies, which can either be hysterically funny or mystifying or too into the whole graphic design at the expense of the humor. But any comic strip that can have a giant homicidal monkey visit a doctor and ask for an epidural gains my eternal trust. Especially when the giant ape tells the doctor, "Yes, I fear the pain." The doctor, uncomprehending, says to him, "An epidural is a procedure aiding in the delivery of the child from the womb. Why on earth would you want an epidural?" And the monkey replies, "I ate a whole wheel of Swiss cheese, and I am going to have an ass baby." Well, you have to see it, which is kind of the point of comics, and you can see a whole archive of this stuff at www.mockies.com. That's MAAAKIES.com.
Viens, petite fille, dans mon comic strip. Viens faire des bulles, viens faire des...
Whip, des, clip, crack,
des,
bang,
des,
bang,
et des...
Zip, shabam, pow, blop, whew.
Je distribue les swings et les uppercuts. Ça fait,
Lam,
ça fait,
splash,
et ça fait...
Stop,
ou bien,
bon,
ou,
oh,
parfois même...
Shabam, pow, blop, whew.
Viens, petite... Petite fille dans mon comic strip, viens faire des bulles, viens faire des...
Whip,
des...
Clip, crack,
des...
Bang,
des...
Flop,
et des...
Zip, shabam, paw, plop, whew.
Viens avec moi par-dessus le building, ça fait...
Whip,
quand on s'envole et puis...
Cool,
après quoi je fais...
Tilt,
et ça fait...
Boing, shabam, paw, plop, whew.
Dans mon comic strip, viens faire des bulles, viens faire des...
Whip,
des...
Clip, crack,
des...
Bang,
des...
Flop,
et des...
Zip, shabam, pow, flop, whew.
N'aie pas peur, bébé, agrippe-toi.
Chop,
je suis là,
crack,
pour te protéger.
Chop,
ferme les yeux,
crack,
embrasse-moi.
Flop, shabam, pow, flop, whew.
But the comic strip I really look forward to in the New York Press is Rehabilitating Mr. Wiggles, the story of a young man and his teddy bear, a nerdy, suicidal, dysfunctional young man and his depraved, sociopathic teddy bear. It's pretty much one of those comic strips that bends over backwards to offend, and you're disappointed when it doesn't. One recent strip had Mr. Wiggles, the really adorable toy bear, sitting at his computer in his dingy bedroom, porno magazines on the floor, stains on his unsheeted mattress. The computer says, "You got mail." Mr. Wiggle says, I've also got syphilis. The strip's creator, Neil Swab, has a new book, Rehabilitating Mr. Wiggles, Volume 1, collecting 140 of the strips, but you can see pretty much all of them for free online at his website, www.neilswab.com. That's NEILSWAAB.com. Going even further into the world of the scatological, there's the one and only Doody.com, Doodie, and I kid you not, every single day this guy, Tom Winkler, posts a new, very short animation. Every single one is about feces. Someone is either excreting it, unable to contain it, getting hit with it, playing sports with it, winning talent contests. It is a one-track comic strip, but what a track it is. And I'd say one out of every four or five strips is laugh-out-loud funny. There are even a couple of strips with sound effects, which, well, you can imagine. So give a look to www.doodie.com. Finally, I want to give a shout-out to a personal acquaintance, Ben Catcher, one of the more famous cartoonists and graphic novelists out there. He is the winner of a MacArthur Genius Grant for his very unique, old-fashioned but odd-fangled view of New York. Cross Damon Runyon with Woody Allen, Art Spiegelman, and Albrecht Dürer, and you kind of get an idea. He tends to work in series of themes, such as following the itinerant ruminations of Julius Knipple, real estate photographer, or the minutia-level history of the Jew of New York. The coolest thing about his website, www.catchor.com, K-A-T-C-H-O-R, are the audio clips, in real audio, which are verbal reenactments of some of his strips. They feature such recognizable voices as Catcher's own slow drawl as narrator, Stiller and Mira, and the late, great Brother Theodore. So, if you love a good strip tease, comic strip that is, check out Mockies.com, NeilSwab.com, Doody.com, and Catcher.com on the World Weird Web. Ah, there's my music again. Start spreading the news. There's a new magazine in town with the latest stories and reviews about everything on stage, On and Off Magazine. It's a glossy, full-color guide to theater, dance, comedy, and cabaret in New York City, and the best part is, it's free. Pardon me. You can find On and Off around town at theaters, restaurants, hotels, and community and information centers. Visit www.onandoffstage.com for more information, and let On and Off be your guide. All right. Time for our weekly birthday salute. Not a huge week for famous births, but what there is Cherse. Gummo Marx, born October 23rd, 1893. Pablo Picasso, born October 25th, 1881. The late midget magnifique, Billy Barty, who starred at small October 25th, 1924. And our birthday boy today, October 20th, Tom Petty, celebrating number 52. I confess, I wasn't into Petty for a lot of years, and I'm not a huge fan now, but his later work has a lot of really listenable good stuff. The Full Moon Fever album, I think, was his breakthrough. It certainly didn't hurt to bring in producer Jeff Lynne. He gives the record such a rich, colorful sound. You hear it also on the two Traveling Wilburys discs. So here's Tom Petty with an absolutely made-for-radio pop tune, circa 1989, Feel a Whole Lot Better.
You love me so much.
Hi, folks. Dave Lefkowitz here from Dave's Gone By, and I want to tell you about a product, event, or service. I'm going to talk about it for half a minute or a minute. I'm going to make it really interesting, and all my listeners are going to go, hey, maybe I'll try this product, event, or service. It's called advertising or sponsorship, and it's easy, cost-effective, and just plain effective. To get your person, place, or thing, well, not thing, promoted on Dave's Gone By and reach listeners all over Brooklyn, Queens, Long Island, and the tri-state area, just give us a call at 516-295-1511 or email us at davesgoneby@aol.com. Check our website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By, and see sponsorship opportunities, ad rates, and more. Again, the number, 516-295-1511. Insert your product, event, or service here. Okay, we're back, and time for a segment I like to call Dave's Gone Cultural, which basically handles reviews and other sundries about film and theater and TV and music and whatever just seems cultural for the moment. And I saw a play this week called Say Goodnight Gracie at the Helen Hayes Theater on Broadway, West 44th Street. It's, as the title would suggest, basically a one-man bio of George Burns performed by Frank Gorshin. You may best know him from Batman as, no, he wasn't the Joker, he was the Riddler. Cesar Romero was the Joker. And Gorshin has been doing movies since the 1950s and a lot of theater since the 70s. In fact, 1970, he was in a show called Jimmy as Mayor Jimmy Walker on Broadway. So now he's a very good impressionist, and he's doing George Burns, telling his life story. Is pretty much what you would expect. A lot of anecdotes. Unfortunately, there's kind of a hokey opening and closing bit where he meets God. You know, he's just about to die and has to tell about his life to God to see whether he'll get into heaven. Get it? The guy from Oh God, meeting God. That's kind of dumb. But the rest of it is very straightforward, very cute, and Burns led a very relatively charmed life. We think of his wife Gracie dying young because she was frail and because he lived so many more years later. But actually, she died at 62, and they were together more than 40 years. And he wasn't always faithful, though the show politely skips over a bit of trivia from his early years as a ladies' man. That's when he contracted gonorrhea, and a quack's cure caused his testicles to swell. Oh, God, indeed. And they also don't even mention that he once went to an opium den. But anyway, the show itself is a bit of biography, jokes, film clips, and they prove that Gracie really was magical, and that Burns was no slouch in the writing department. There's also a nice undertow of sentiment for Gracie and for his best friend, Jack Benny. And it's a very pleasant evening, even if there's a whiff of mothballs about the whole endeavor. It's one thing to get Elaine Stritch or Jerry Herman to do a show about their lives. It's another to have an Elaine Stritch or Jerry Herman impersonator do the show, and then try and squeeze the same nostalgia out of it. Still, Say Goodnight Gracie is recommended for a very light evening out, especially for the over 50 set, with one big caveat. The theater is freezing cold. Now, I know it's one of the first rules of producing a play. If you have a comedy, keep the room cool so the audience stays more alert. Sitting in a warm theater with the lights down is conducive to nodding off, which you don't want under any circumstances, not to mention a comedy. But the owners of the Helen Hayes Theater, Martinson, and Donald Tick, are either pinching pennies or trying to cause a flu epidemic because it was knuckle whitening in there. Or, as George Burns might have put it, bum, 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 it was so cold in that theater. Someone behind me dropped a playbill, and it shattered. Bum, 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 bum. It was so cold. It was so cold in that theater. People leaned forward just to get closer to my last name. Bum, 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 bum. It was so cold in that theater. A gay stagehand had to be medically separated from his coworker when his tongue froze. Bum, 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 bum. It was so cold in that theater. All the old people in the audience saw two shows, not one. On stage, Say Goodnight Gracie. In their pants, Urine Town. Bum, 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 bum. Say goodnight, George. Goodnight, George. Now let's hear the real George Burns, only about a year before he died. He took part in kind of a concept album. Cy Coleman, a fairly legendary Broadway composer, was having trouble raising investors for a new show. It was about prostitution in New York and called The Life. Coleman figured, not without cause, that recording the songs with famous singers and stars before there even was a show would get the tunes out there and pique the curiosity of the Broadway community. Kinda worked. The Life came to Broadway in 1997, got some good reviews, a couple of Tony nominations, was even the dark horse for Best Musical that year, although Titanic won. And The Life closed just a week after the Tonys, pretty much a forgotten flop. In my opinion, the show had a pretty hackneyed storyline and felt behind the times even while they were doing it. But Cy Coleman could write a kicky tune, and The Life had a few of them. On the concept recording of The Life, not to be confused with the original cast recording, which features the stars of the actual show, you get people like Liza Minnelli and Lou Rawls, Leslie Gore, Jennifer Holliday, and George Burns, sounding about two steps removed from the grave he would share with Gracie just a few months later. It's hard to tell whether they were using electrodes to get his lips to move at this point, but there's still something amazing about the recording. It's called Easy Money, so fireproof your ears, 'cause George Burns.
Easy money, I'm learning how to make it. Easy money, you just reach out and take it. Ain't it funny,
oh, Georgie,
how things can change?
Oh,
my take home really was low. I never knew it was so. Easy, honey. Just give them what they came for. Easy, honey. Just smile and play the game for. Easy money. Don't let it in.
Don't let it in.
Oh, that easy money. Feels so easy to spend. Told you, kid, I'd be fine. Now you see, things are breaking. What a night, it's a sign. From now on, I'll be making easy money. I'm learning how to make it easy money. You just reach out and take it. Ain't it funny?
Ain't it funny?
How things can change.
How things can change.
My take on really was low. I never knew it was so. Easy, honey.
Easy money.
Just give them what they came for. Easy, honey.
Easy, honey.
Just smile and play the game for. Easy, money. Don't let it end.
Don't let it end.
Oh, that easy money. Oh, that easy money.
Oh,
that easy money. It's so easy to spend. That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. George Burns. Well, we have a little extra time this week, so I'm going to give you a special treat. On the last two programs, the World Weird Web segment was all about a fellow named William Shooby Taylor, the most unique scat singer of all time. I mentioned that just hearing one Shooby song doesn't really give you his full range. Sometimes he sings, or scats, just to organ accompaniment. Sometimes he does it to an actual record of country music or gospel or jazz. You've heard of karaoke? This is karaoke, but it's glorious. And every Shooby song is unique in its own way. So we'll start with Shooby Taylor doing You're Nobody Till Somebody Loves You, and then, if there's time, we'll continue our birthday salute to Tom Petty, 52 years old today, with a fun song, Cool Dry Place, from that very underrated second Traveling Wilburys album. Musical wonderment on Dave's Gone By.
Little the lover, 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 little the But gold.
Shuby Taylor, the one, the only, still alive, living in New Jersey. God bless him. You're nobody till somebody loves you. I wish we had time to play a little more Tom Petty, but amazingly enough, the show has just breezed by. We're out of time. So, time for me to leave my cool, dry place, a song I won't play this week, and go by. To see a playlist for the music on this show and previous programs, check the website hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. Just give us till tomorrow afternoon to update the info. A big thank you to my special guest, Kip Cohn, for calling in. Kip, fighting the good fight. Thank you to station manager Joey, engineer Paul, my assistant and wife Joyce Wild. And a big mazel tov to our friends in D.C., Nihal and Grégoire, and their new 9-pound arrival, Iskander Pierre Gunesh. May he live to 120. I wish the same to our own new arrival, K91, named Ufti Guft, a long-awaited buddy for Little Murray. You can see him on the website, by the way, Murray. And thank you also to Don Lewis and his Entertainment Long Island show, which goes on 10 an hour just before we do. Give him a listen. Please send your comments, love notes, and suggestions to davesgoneby@aol.com. And tune in next Sunday, same time, same place, same voice, same face. Have a great week. Don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night, good morning, and gone by.
Against the blue ocean, against the tomorrow sky. And I will walk and talk, and God and soul.
You've been listening to Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz on 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community.
Sweet thing. Yeah, 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 yeah. Sweet thing. Thank you.